Acts 27 and verse 9. When much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only by the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which are spoken by Paul, because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, and if by any means they might attain unto Phoenix, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth towards the southwest and northwest. When the south wind blew, softly supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called a Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, running under a certain island which is called Clauda. We had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. The next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. What a sad place to get to in life. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. And here's those three words, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for these stories in the Bible. They help us as we were reading the storm and the description of the storm. And Lord, I know this is talking about a literal storm and a real ship and a real crew. But Lord, I'm sure that many of us here begin to go back to places in our life where it seemed like things had just gotten to the point where they were out of control. And Lord, it seemed like we were at the mercy of the circumstances around us. And it's easy to get to that place of hopelessness. But I pray, Lord, if we ever visit there, Lord, we'll stand up as Paul did and say these three words that I believe can get anyone through their storm. Bless the preaching of the Bible, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to tell you in advance that I'm going to struggle a little bit today because I've got my first time, full-time, actual supposed-to-stay-on-your-face pair of glasses. And not happy about it. I'm bitter about it. They've been ready for weeks, and I wouldn't go pick them up. And she said, when are you going to pick them up? I said, I won't pick them up. Then I'll have to wear them. And so I finally went and picked them up, and they're bifocals. How many's got bifocals? How many's got trifocals? Do they have more than that? Anybody have more than that? That's two, three. Do I hear four? And I'm doing opening assembly, and that's so weird because, like, if I look at the back of the auditorium, you look great. All these people are blurry up here. And then if I look here, you're great, but I can't see them back there. And then the sides, if I look straight, the sides are blurry. And they tell you that your eyes will eventually adjust and know where to look. My eyes don't have a clue right now where to. And then they said if you start wearing them for more than a couple hours at first, you might start feeling nauseous. And I thought, well, that's silly. And then I'm in opening assembly saying, let's sing I Will Make You. And every time I go like this, everything would go blurry. I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. I may keel over and right in the middle of the message. I have no idea what's about to happen, but I am stubbornly determined to use them both in Sunday school and Sunday morning this morning, and then We'll see how it goes tonight, whether I rethink my strategy, but I'm going through a storm. I need these three words. Help me get through this storm. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that shall be even as it was told me, that it shall be even as it was told me. Preacher, you love this statement. I do. I do. I love this statement. I think it's an extraordinary statement. It's probably the least thing you would think to hear in this circumstance. Let me give you an introduction. I believe it's an extraordinary statement from an extraordinary man. The Apostle Paul, I love the Apostle Paul. I've just learned so much from him. I think he's an example of so many things that are positive and good. You know, but he's not a perfect man. He's a man with a past. Watch this. Even a man with a past can stand up at a crucial moment and say, I believe God. And I'm glad to say that. You know, I know not everyone's going to be born into a Christian home. And not everyone's going to find Jesus Christ at a young age. And would to God everybody did and would. But that's not God's plan. That's not the way it is going to be. Sometimes people come into a church and they think, boy, I just couldn't fit around here. You know, people don't know what's in my past. They don't know where I've been. They don't know what I've done. And I just don't know if I fit in church. And I've had people literally tell me that. And I remembered as they visited the people they were sitting around. And I thought, if you only knew those same folks that you look at and assume have always been in church, but they haven't been. You know what? At some point, they found Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And even somebody with a past, aren't you glad that God can find you in your 20s and you can get saved and still go forward and do great things for God? Aren't you glad that you can find God in your 40s or your 50s? You say, preacher, I've just got this mess of a life. But you know what? God can pick you up and brush you off and clean you up and make you one of his children. And you know what? Maybe you spent 40 years living for the devil. Spent the last 30 or 40 living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Brother Bo Eichelman, who dedicated his life to the bus ministry in this church. He told me one of the reasons I give so much, he said, I didn't get saved till I was 35. He said, I feel like I lived the first half of my life for the devil, so I want to do double time living the second half for the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, listen to me. I don't care what's in your past. All I care about is this. Believe God. Believe his message. Know that God loves you. Know that Jesus died for you. Know that God wants to save you. And know that you can still have a wonderful life. He's a man with a past, but he's also a man with a testimony. And there was that time when he received Christ as his Savior. Now he's a man on a mission. Because you know what? When God appeared to him, he said, Paul, I'm not done with you. You're going to stand before Caesar. And you know what? All the storms can come, but they're not going to prevent my will. I have a plan for you. I've got a mission. And it seemed like from the day that the Apostle Paul got saved, he just was put on a mission. He's going to spend his life trying to reach others for the Lord Jesus Christ. So an extraordinary statement from an extraordinary man. An extraordinary statement during extraordinary circumstances. If he said this on a sunshiny day, it would still be a blessing. But it's more of a blessing because of the storms he was facing. He said this, by the way, while he was under arrest for preaching the Word of God. He said this while he was in the midst of a Euroclide. It's kind of a counterclockwise hurricane, and their ship's right in the middle of it, being torn asunder. He said it on the deck of a doomed ship. He said it on the deck of a doomed ship. You know, it's a good time in your Christian life and a good place to get when the ship that you're standing on can become a part underneath your feet. You can still look around and say, I believe God. I believe God. It was an extraordinary statement about an extraordinary God. By the way, folks, this is a capital G God. This isn't a little g God. This God that Paul served created the man who made the statement. He created the circumstance of the moment. He created the sea they sailed on, the winds that assailed them, the clouds that engulfed them, and the rocks that now threatened them. All those things had one thing in common. They were made by the same creator. This God, the true God, the God of the Bible, was in complete control of what seemed to be an out-of-control situation. See, Paul's God was the one God, the triune God, the creator God, the holy God, the almighty God, the all-knowing God, the God of the Bible, the God of the Bible. And by the way, I got to add this. And the God who sent his only begotten son to die for my sins. And so, extraordinary moment. And an extraordinary man. In extraordinary circumstances, makes a statement about an extraordinary God. Let's put it under the microscope and look at it this morning. Say, preacher, you love this statement. Why do you love it so much? I love it, number one, because of the spirit of these three words. The spirit of these three words. Look at verse 25 again. Wherefore, sirs, here's the next phrase. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Say, preacher, why do you love these three words? Because when Paul said it, he said it with a smile on his face. Be of good cheer. As you face adversity in life, I want to say this to God's people. Please listen. As you face adversity in life, face it with good cheer. Watch this. Times may be tough right now. Put a smile on your face anyway. The happiest people on earth ought to be God's people. The most cheerful people in the world ought to be God's people. The most positive people in the world ought to be God's people. Why, preacher? Because we believe God. Because we believe God. Don't let the devil, I want to say this, I want to help some of you. I know we've got people, you say, preacher, why this message today? Because as I prayed over our church every day this week and I prayed down through our church prayer list, you know what? God just kept reminding me there's so many folks going through so many personal issues right now, personal problems and personal challenges. You know, you take what's going on in your personal life and then you look around at all the national stuff and folks, even if things are going well right now in your personal life, you still can lose faith just because of the discouragement of the everyday news. Doesn't it seem like the world's out of control? And yet the God who made the world is in control of even what may seem like an out of control situation. So I guess the preacher, God wanted the preacher to come up and just say this. Don't let the devil steal your cheer. Okay, watch this. Don't let backsliders steal your joy. Watch this. Don't let the darkness of the world dim your radiant light. Don't let the storms of life steal your happy smile. I ran into an old preacher by the name of Tom Wallace. Many of you know who Tom Wallace is. And I was down at the Sword of the Lord conference last month. And I looked out and I saw Tom Wallace sitting in the auditorium. Afterwards, I wanted to meet him. I'd heard Tom Wallace preach many times. Never shaken his hand. Never had a personal conversation with him. And I thought, here's a man that I've always admired from afar. I'm going to go down and meet him. And so I did. I went down and shook his hand. By the way, he said, I was listening to you as you preached. And you mentioned Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Jasonville, Indiana. He said, I preached in that church years ago. And so we started comparing notes and figuring out he was here when Pastor Jewel was here, I believe. He came and preached here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That's been some time back. And he began to tell stories about his good memories of this place. And I was pleased to shake his hand. You know what? Dr. Wallace will turn 91 a week from today. 91 a week from today. He was born August 22nd, 1930. You know what I noticed as I watched him? I watched him from the platform. I watched him later on throughout the week, just every time I could spot him. Look right up here. I never saw him without a smile on his face. I never saw him without a pleasantness about him. Folks, listen to me. If you've been in the ministry as long as he has, and he's 91 years of age, by the way, and he's dealing with health issues, you know what? I think he's just had to make some choices along the way. And by the way, me and you have to make the same choices. Okay, folks, listen, there's no temptation taking us but such as is common to man. What that means is sometimes we're going through something, we get this, you know, poor me, I'm the only one that's ever faced this. No, folks, I promise you, whatever you're going through, millions of people have gone through it before you did. Some of them did well during it, and some of them didn't. But I think a lot of it had to be their choice of how they were going to view it and what they were going to do about it. When I came back, I had a book of illustrations, and I remember reading thinking that there was some in there about or from Tom Wallace. And I just had this encounter with him, got to talk and enjoy that so much. So I picked up, I dug through my library and found that book, and I thought, I want to know a little bit more about him. And the first illustration I found, it was entitled His Favorite Pastoral Story. This isn't a story he told me as we talked. It's something I came back and read. But he had pastored. It's a story that he shared from the years of pastoring in Elkton, Maryland at the Bible Baptist Church. And he told this story. Instead of me trying to retell it, I brought it with me. I thought I'd just read it to you real quick. I love this. He said this. It's written in his own words, by his own pen. My favorite illustration comes from my own pastoral experience. It took place on Sunday morning at Bible Baptist Church in Elkton, Maryland. The Sunday morning service was just ready to begin when in came a man who had never attended our church before. He looked around with awe and amazement at the number of people packed into the auditorium. He came slowly down the aisle, looking from side to side, and seated himself on the second row from the front. As I preached, he listened with the keenest of interest. When the invitation time came, I said, "Now, how many of you are not saved but would like to be and want us to pray for you? Will you raise your hand?" He shot up his hand and waved it back and forth persistently until he was sure that I had seen it. When I asked those who would claim Christ to come forward, he literally bounced out of his pew and darted to the altar. He stood before me and I asked, "Sir, do you believe that Christ died to save sinners?" He said, "Yes, sir, and I want to be saved today." And he knelt there with me and we prayed together. And when he got saved, there was a beam of triumph about him. When he came into the baptistry, I put him into the water and out again to walk in newness of life. He came up out of the water, clapping his hands and shouting, "Hot dog, hot dog, hot dog." Our people roared with laughter. I imagine they did. I quickly asked for them to be silent, and I explained that this poor man had not been raised in church, hadn't been around church, didn't know about amen, praise the Lord, and hallelujah. And his word was hot dog, and he was praising the Lord with the only vocabulary he knew. And I read that story, and I thought to myself, was reminded of the great joy of just receiving Christ as your Savior. You know what, folks, do you remember that? Can we just all pause, go back to that day for a second? If you're here today and say, "Preacher, I can stop right now and I can search the timeline of my life and I can find that spot, that moment where I was under Holy Spirit conviction, I understood the gospel, God the Father was drawing me to himself, and I made the decision to receive Christ as my Savior." And you remember that moment. You remember the joy that came to your heart that day. You know what, folks? Maybe we've been in church long enough to say amen, praise the Lord, and hallelujah. But I want to ask you, have you lost your hot dog? Have you lost your hot dog? Paul was in the worst storm of his life. But when he walked out to the deck of the ship that was being torn apart, you know what? He shouted to those around him, be of good cheer. The three words he would declare was made better because he said them with a smile on his face. I want to encourage you. I read this illustration in the same book. I had to laugh. Read the story of a preacher who went on vacation, and while away, he visited a small country church. The greeters at the door scowled as he entered. The people in the pews turned to glare as he and his wife found a seat. The choir opened the service by singing "Joy Unspeakable," while their expressions looked like gloom unimaginable. The announcements were given in terse terms. The song leader woke up on the wrong side of the bed. The piano player frowned as she played. The ushers frowned as they ushered. And then the message was given without a hint of joy. At the end of the service, the pastor and his wife were leaving, and he shook the preacher's hand and asked a question. Here was the question he asked that pastor: "Do you give out a prize?" The preacher frowned and answered, "A prize? You expect a prize for visiting our church?" The visiting pastor answered back, "Not a prize for us. By looking at your faces, the faces in your church, I could only conclude that you must give a prize for the congregant who can look the most miserable each and every Sunday." Are some of you in here trying to win a prize every Sunday? Come on, we got to be careful. We can get into that. We can get into that. Say, "Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through." Now stop throwing up those defenses. Go tell it to Brother Paul. Now go right into this chapter. Go stand on that ship and tell him how tough you got it. The honest truth is, folks, the Bible helps us during tough times. It helps us not to give in to it, to give in to the despair. Watch this. There ought to be a marked difference on how a saved person faces adversity from an unsaved person facing adversity. Because if the unsaved person watches the saved person, and you know what? He sees the same doom and gloom that he's feeling. Then what does that man have that I would need? We must watch this. Don't miss this. We must here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let's not lose our smiles. And by the way, I'm talking to people who I know what some of you are going through right now. And I know sometimes you have to smile while wiping tears. But you know what will help you? Three words. I believe God. I believe God. God. You see, what Brother Paul's teaching us is this: you can be of good cheer even in the midst of your storm. Preacher, why do you love these three words? Well, number one, because of the spirit in which they were spoken. Number two, I love this statement because of the confidence of these three words. Why? That's why. Like, because when Paul said it, can I say it this way? When Paul said it, he didn't stutter. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. It wouldn't be very encouraging if he said this: I think we might be all right. Or if he had said, maybe things will turn out okay. You know what Paul didn't say? You know, you can usually trust the Lord. He didn't say, hey, perhaps God will come through this time. You know what he said? With great confidence. That's the word, confidence. He said it with conviction: I believe God. Now, folks, listen, during the storms of life, the world needs to see the cheer of the Christians. He also needs to see the confidence of the Christians, not confidence in the circumstances, not even confidence in ourselves, but confidence in God. You know what he was saying? Hey, everyone, smile. This is what he was saying. God's got this. God's got this. I want to say to some of you are going through some pretty tough things right now. God's got this. He's the same God he was when things were going okay. And by the way, this too will pass. And on the other side of this storm, you know what? You're going to want to have looked back and say, and be able to say, you know what? I kept the right testimony during that storm. I love this. Paul was saying this, and we need to hear it. So let's just let him say it. I'm not confident. I'm not confident in this ship. But I am confident in my God. I'm not confident in the ship's commander, but I am confident in my God. I'm not confident in the weather forecast. Don't be confident in that. But I'm confident in my God. I'm not sure when the storm will end, but I know this. After the wind blows itself out, the waves beat their last, and the damage is complete, God will still be God. And my confidence is in him. I love Philippians chapter 1, and these words God used Paul to pen. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he that which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. If God started something, he's going to finish it. You know what he said? He came to Paul and said, I know that I'm asking you, I'm allowing you to have to go through this storm. But I told you you would stand before Caesar, and I don't want you to lose faith in that. If I said that, and I started you on this journey, I'm going to see you to the end of this journey. Well, folks, we're all on a journey. We're all on a journey. And there's purposes and a plan for every single person in this room. God's plan for me is not the same as God's plan for you. God's will for me is not the same as God's will for your life and the specifics of life. But I promise you this, if you're saved, he's begun a good work in you and he will perform it to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't lose confidence. Don't lose confidence. I like Psalms 118:8. I wrote this down. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Amen. How about the next verse? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Too many people got too infatuated with some politicians. How'd that work out for you? You might want to just put your trust in the Lord. How about this verse? For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. I love Proverbs 14:26. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. The men and the women that I've known throughout my life who have served the Lord with the greatest confidence are men and women who had an unfailing confidence in God. They appreciated other good men, but their confidence was in God. They prayed for their politicians, and we ought to, but their confidence was in God. They were confident that God would finish what he started in their life. They were confident that God would hear and answer their prayers according to his will, not our will, his will. They were confident that if worse came to worse, they must give their lives for Christ, that to be absent from the body is to be present for the Lord. And you know what? It's going to be all good. I want you to leave here this morning confident in the will of God for your life. God has a will for your life. Confident in the ways of God. Confident in the wisdom of God. Preacher, I don't understand. We're not always going to understand. What does your preacher say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And folks, if we always understood, we'd never have to trust. You know when we trust? When we don't understand. So God is going to take you through some things you're not going to understand. Why? Because during those times, he wants you to just trust him, to just trust him. Let me give you the third reason. Preacher, why do you love this statement? Because of the faith of these words. It shall be, notice the last part of that verse, it shall be even as it was told me. It shall, listen, why was he cheerful? Why did he have confidence? Because he had been visited by God and he had God's very words. Folks, this earth has been visited by God, and you know what? He left us his very words right here. Think about that. Why do I love these three words? Because when Paul said it, his faith was in the very words of God. Preacher, how can you be so confident? How can you be so cheerful when so many things are happening and so many burdens are part of life? And come on, preacher, you don't just carry. You choose this. You just don't carry your own burdens. You carry a lot of other people's burdens. And how can you have a smile on your face and confidence? Please look up here. Because I have the very words of God. I have the very words of God. Pastor, how can you smile when so much is going wrong? How can you smile in the middle of the storms of life? It sounds like what you're asking. It seems unreasonable. How can you have confidence when our country seems to be going to the devil? How can you have faith when it seems so many are leaving the faith? Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul was confident because Paul's faith was in the very words of God. My faith this morning. It's in the promises of God as they're found written down for me in this King James Holy Bible. There's some scriptures that I passed out in my auditorium class. And by the way, there's some extra copies. If you go out today and you look over on the information desk, you look for a yellow piece of paper stapled together. There's two papers. We're talking about the spirit of Antichrist in our morning, in our auditorium class. And one of the spirits that create the spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of fear, and God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And yet at the same time, I can say this, honestly, I battle sometimes with the spirit of fear in my own life. There's certain Bible verses that I go to during those times that calm my fears. And I just, there's no commentary, there's no comments, there's just Bible verses that will calm your fears. You know what? Say, preacher, there's a lot going on, and I don't know how the future's going to unfold, and I don't know about the future, and I worry about my kids, and I worry about my grandkids, and sometimes I'm to the point where sometimes I'm just froze up. I'm not doing what I should do. I'm not saying what I should say because fear is controlling my life. Listen to me. Go back there and pick up those pieces of paper on your way out. Stick them in your Bible. And you know what? When you have a time like this, just open them up, and you won't find Jerry Ross's words anywhere, but you'll find God's word on every line. And he has given us precious promises. And those promises, we can reach in the Bible and you can claim them and you can personalize them and you can say, these were given for me. For me. And then you know what? After that, square your shoulders up and with confidence, go forward in your Christian life. Listen, you're going to be okay. You're going to get on the other side of this. You know what? God's got a plan. You're going to have learned some things you wouldn't have learned if you didn't have to go through the storm. You know what? You just lean heavily on the promises of God. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This life is a vapor. Here's for a short time. Come on, those of you in your 60s, 70s, 80s, how quick did it go? How quick did it go? But you know what, folks? If this was all there was, then all I could do is come here this morning and give a message of despair. But I can tell you, in my Father's house are many mansions. If were not so, I would have told you. when the pandemic was breaking out and the country began to shut down, and the run was on to snatch up groceries and toilet paper. And the media seemed beside themselves with happiness to report the dire conditions of our situation. When the future was uncertain, the facts unknown. By the way, we were in that time where it just seemed like it was swirling around. And nobody knew exactly what this was or what it was going to be and what to make of it. When fear was spreading and the future uncertain, during that first week when all this kind of broke out, on that next Sunday, your pastor walked to the pulpit after the opening song, and I didn't say a word. I just said, "Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy." And then we sang it again. "Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy." Be of good cheer. I believe God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. It'll just get you through it. Sorry that you have to go through it. As your preacher, I wish there was a way sometimes that I could do what Jesus did. Sometimes as I come and visit and I pray, I watch people struggle and go through difficulties, I think, Jesus, you could have just stepped on the bow of this ship and said, "Peace be still," and all the problems would be gone. I can't do that. I sure am glad, folks, that I can point you to someone who can do that. And I think we need to pray for each other. I think we need to pray for the families in our churches going through tough times. And that's a lot of them. I think we need to pray for our nation. But I want to say this before we close. I also think we need to put a smile on our face. I also think we ought to enter into tomorrow with a strong confidence in God. I think we ought to take our King James Holy Bible and open it up in the morning before we leave the house and read the Bible, read the words, and believe them. I think we ought to be an example to a world that is living in fear and confusion, that if they'll simply come to God, everything can be all right. If you're here this morning, you've never received Jesus as your Savior, I pray that you'll be saved today. I can remember coming to a church, attending a church as a lost person. By the way, nobody's born saved. We all need to be saved. We all come to this world lost. But I thank God that I came to a church lost, and thank God for the preaching of the Bible. I thank God for God's tender working in my young life. And I thank God for the day that I realized, hey, Jesus just didn't die. He died for me. By the way, he didn't just die. He was buried and rose again. So he has paid for my sins, and he has defeated death, and he is offering me the gift of eternal life. What a deal. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised it from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Preacher, it just seems too simple. Oh, maybe simple for us. It wasn't simple for Jesus. Easy for us, hard for him. You know what? He paid it all. He offers you the gift of eternal life, but you must receive it. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we conclude the message, going to our time of invitation, Lord, that you would use the word of God to speak into our hearts. Pray, Lord, for that one, that Christian brother or sister is going through difficult times. Lord, they're on the deck of that ship, and the wind and the waves is destroying, it seems like, the very ship underneath them. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would give them that extraordinary spirit of Paul, extraordinary cheerfulness. I mean, don't make sense cheerfulness. Extraordinary confidence, not in us, but in you. Extraordinary faith in your word. Lord, I pray, dear God, we take those storm time opportunities to speak out loud about our faith in God. Pray for those that may be here without Christ as their Savior, Lord. We pray, dear God, if they are here, and they're not saved. Lord, remember that Sunday morning when you worked on my heart. I knew I was lost, knew I needed to be saved. Lord, thank you for helping me to step out. Out of my pew to the nearest aisle, walk up to the front. Thank you for a preacher that was waiting to greet me and take the Bible and show me how I could know for sure that I was going to heaven. Lord, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Extraordinary thing to walk into church on your way to hell and walk out. Be able to lay your head on your pillow and know for sure that Jesus is your Savior and heaven is your home. Jesus, thank you for doing the hard part and making it easy for us. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that needs to be saved, that be saved today.